It's not the wind, it's not the trees that's causing the problems. It's the wind that's blowing the trees. Remember, the Democrats are not our enemy. Satan is. I'm honest. Though the left is not our enemy, Satan is. Satan's our enemy. They're just the trees. He's the wind. Remember, we're still in a spiritual warfare and battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. God help us to stand in these last days. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. We're in spiritual warfare today, folks. But I think I'll just stick with the Savior, because I got good news. He wins.
Amen.
I'm on the winning side. Just to remind you, Jesus wins. Man, that don't make everybody happy. Everybody that's on Jesus' side, let's put it that way. Because if I was playing on a football team or a baseball team and I know the outcome and I was going to lose, I wouldn't try too hard. You understand what I'm saying? It wouldn't be too much fun in playing the game. But I'm reminding you this morning, you're on the winning side. It may not feel like it. You may feel all alone. I'm honest. You may be going through things that you don't understand. I'll be honest with you. There's some things that some of you are going through that you have shared with me that I don't understand. I told my wife yesterday, I feel like I've been Peter being sifted as wheat for about the last 3 months. And I'm not the only one. I'm not saying that for you to get glory or to make you feel sympathetic toward me. I don't want your sympathy. And I understand that. I want your prayers, but I don't want your sympathy. I don't want you apathetic toward me either, like you don't care. But understand that there's a balance to this thing. But man, we all go through hard times in our life, and we all get sifted as wheat, and we all experience things that we don't understand. And man, there's just things don't happen the way that we want to, or in the time frame that we want to. Or man, it seems like we have these plans and everything begins to work wonderful and good, and then all of a sudden the wind gets sucked out of the sail and you're stuck stranded on the ocean. And you're like, okay, now what do I do? How do I get back to shore? Anybody but the preacher feeling like that this morning? Yeah. Life is hard. Remember, Jesus said this, the last words that He gave His disciples there as He was talking around the table there in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. Before He went out into the garden to pray, He said this to them. He said, ye shall have tribulations. I don't like tribulations. I'm just going to go on record. I don't like hard times. I like it easy. I like smooth sailing. I don't like conflict. I don't like confusion. I want things to go just perfect. I don't like it. But guess what, Brother Wesley? I've never happened. And especially if you're a chicken farmer, amen, this sure don't happen. Just last week, we were supposed to leave. Me and Tina had this week planned. And this is no reflection of the funeral. But we had this week planned. We were going to get away because our life had been wide open for about 5 months. We don't get to see each other. We don't even get to see the kid. And just so happened, Brother Leo's funeral. Well, that put us off. Well, we come home from Leo's funeral. We was packing up to leave. We had a farm catastrophe. We finally got left. Due to that catastrophe, we finally left 1:30 Wednesday afternoon. Life's hard, but I think I'll just stick with Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus said this in John chapter number 6, verse number 67. Just to remind you, then I think I'll just stick with Jesus. Why? Because just to remind you, Jesus wins. John chapter 6, verse number 67. The Bible said this. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege to preach this morning. Lord, I pray that, God, that you'd take your words, you would magnify it in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, I'm begging you, Lord, God, this morning to use us. Lord, I give myself to be used by you. Lord, I pray that my speaking and my preaching, God, would not be done with enticing words of man's wisdom, but God, in the demonstration, Lord, a spirit and a power. Lord, I pray this morning you drain me of pride. Lord, of self, Lord, of every thought and intent. Lord, I have nothing, God, to help these people, God, but you have everything. Lord, I'm just your mouthpiece. I'm just your instrument, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would use me this morning, God, to help this crowd, Lord, to help us to go on with you, to help us to realize and understand that, Lord, there's nothing more, God, more important in this world. There's nothing, God, out there that's better, Lord, than Jesus today. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Now, understand, I preached a series of messages on this one time about those that are walking away, and that's not where I'm going, but I want to remind you, if you'll notice there in verse number 66, it says, From that time many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. Understand that they were many that was walking away. And if Christ wasn't concerned, and I made this statement before, if Christ was not concerned about those that walked away, neither should we. And I don't mean that in a bad way. And I'm not talking about that one, that the prodigal son that's went out and has not come back home. But I'm talking about those that walk away and reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about those that have never heard the gospel, but I'm talking about those that have rejected the gospel. There's nothing we can do. Remember, when they reject the gospel according to Romans chapter number 1, God turns them over to a reprobate. Okay? That's just biblical. I know it's not popular, but it's biblical. Okay? Just go back and read your Bible. The Bible doesn't change. Men change. People change. The Bible does not change. But understand this, many walked away because Jesus preached the truth, and they said there that the sayings were too hard. And you study it out, and what he had said was too hard for them to swallow. And many of the disciples walked away from Jesus that day. And Jesus turned to Peter, and he led them to the disciples, and he looked at them, and he said, Will you also go away? Now, I understand this morning, as we taught in Sunday school, there's nothing I can do to ever lose my salvation. There's never be a day that I will not be saved. Why? Because I didn't save myself. He saved me. I'm not keeping myself. I'm kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed unto the last time. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. There is nothing that I can do to lose my salvation. But understand this, I have watched many walk away. I have watched many not walk away because of hard saying, but many walk away because of hard times. And we talked about that before, and we talked about, as we preached through that, many walking away. We talked about when Naomi left and Boaz stayed. We talked about others throughout the Word of God. When times got hard, they walked away. But I want to remind you this morning, where are you going if you walk away? Where are you going? Who are you going to go to? Peter said this. He said, Lord, if I go, who am I going to go to? I think I'll just stay with Jesus today. Young people, let me remind you this morning, the best thing you can do in your life is stay with Jesus. Where are you going to go? Understand this, if you have your Bibles, go to Luke. Why am I going to stay with Jesus? Well, number one, because He found me. I didn't find Him. Luke chapter 15, verse number 3 and 7. Luke 15, 3 through 7. I didn't find Him. He found me. Luke chapter 15, verse number 3. The Bible said, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need need no repentance. I think I'll just stay with Jesus because I didn't find Him. He found me. Man, I didn't go looking for Him, but thank God He came looking for me that day. I mean, I had heard about Him all my life, and there was a time that as a 13-year-old boy, I thought, well, maybe I'll just go up there and maybe I'll just follow everybody else because I really want to be saved. I really don't want to die and go to hell. But maybe if I just go up there, maybe it'll bring some peace and maybe I can get it all worked out. And beloved, I went up there and I knelt and I prayed and I made this prayer and I wasn't in faith. It wasn't trusting in the Lord. It was just trying to relieve my conscience and relieve my duty there of being in church. But beloved, I'll never forget that day as an 18-year-old boy coming up the road from Gainesville, Georgia, coming up 365. Beloved, the Holy Ghost of God sit down beside me in the seat and He said, I want you. Of everybody in the world, I want you. May I go on record today and say, I think I'm just going to stay with Jesus, not because I found Him, but because He found me. Amen. Thank God that He found me this morning. When I couldn't even find myself, Jesus found me. He came to where I was. You're lost this morning, guess what? He's come to where you are. He'll sit down beside you and say, let me tell you how much I love you. I died for you. You're wicked and undone. You're unclean. You're unholy. There's nothing good about you. But I want you. I love you. I'll make you a new creature. I'll change your life, give you new hope, give you new dreams. I'm coming looking for you. You remember that day that Jesus found you? When you couldn't even find yourself. Didn't know if He was coming or going.
That's right.
Didn't know which way was up, which way was down. You didn't know what life was all about. You had all these dreams and aspirations. But then when Jesus stepped in, everything changed. Amen. Your life had no meaning. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like your life has no meaning, has no purpose. I got good news for you today. There's a shepherd looking for a lost sheep this morning. And they'll be rejoicing. Not only will there be rejoicing around you, you can rejoice too because He found you this morning. But understand this, until you realize you're lost, you're not ever going to be found. Amen. As I've said this before, as I've said it many times before, you'll never get found until you realize that you're lost. And when you realize you're lost, He'll come hunting you and He'll come seeking you. As long as you try to do it your way and live life your way and practice religion your way and do everything, trying to live your life good enough to get accepted by Him, to get accepted by the church, to make it into heaven, understand this, you're not lost. You know exactly the road you're on. You know exactly the path you're on. But beloved, I want you to understand, if you'll ever get to that point in your life where you realize that you don't know what life's all about and you don't know whether you're coming or going. You don't know what tomorrow is all about or what the future holds. Understand this morning, you're a great candidate for salvation. Amen. And you're a great candidate for the shepherd to come hunting you. I think I'll just stay with Jesus because He found me. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember that day when He found you? Hallelujah. I do. Not only that, you have your Bible in Psalms chapter 41, verse number 11. I'm going to turn a lot this morning. Psalms chapter number 41, verse number 11. Thank God that He found me. Maybe this message is for me this morning. I don't know. Maybe I just need to be reminded myself of why I ain't leaving. Because you're more holy than the rest of us if you ain't never thought about throwing in the towel and quitting. Amen. Psalms chapter 40, verse number 1. Verse number 11. I think I'll just stay with Jesus because He favors me. Bible said this in Psalms chapter 41, verse number 11. By this I know that Thou favorest me because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. I think I'll just stay with Jesus because He favors me. Man, I can't remember their names, and she'll be Amanda'll be here next week. What was the three girls? What was their last names? Huh? Brad? What? Bagleys. Yes, the Bagley girls. They used to pastor them in Dawsonville. And they used to get up and sing this song. He loves me like I was his only child. Man, have you ever realized this morning how that the Lord favors you? You have found favor with God. And not this. Notice what he said here. He said, by this I know, that means I'm assured of something, that thou favorest me because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. Remember, as I told you before, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. As we're preaching about the church on Sunday nights, we talked about how the gates of hell shall not prevail. It did not say it would not come against us, but it will never prevail against us. Understand this morning, the enemy has come at me many times. He's shot me. He's knocked the wind out of my sails. He's knocked me down. He's left me for dead, but thank God, beloved, he's never triumphed over me. Why? Because, beloved, I belong to Jesus, and I've read the back of the book, and he wins. Beloved, I'm reminding you this morning, I think I'll just stay with Jesus because he favors me this morning. And I'm reminding you, you need to stay with Jesus because he favors you. The enemy may come against you, but you can rest assured he'll never triumph over you. Why? Because this I know, by this I know that thou favorest me because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. I think I'll just stay with Jesus today. Just to remind you, Jesus wins. He's the winner in this thing. He's the winning team. Not just because he found me, but because he favors me. Remember Luke chapter 2, verse 31. The Lord looked at Simon and he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But he looked at him and he said, but I have prayed for thee. Man, aren't you glad that you've got one in the heavens that's interceding to the Father on your behalf? Maybe God's pulled back the hedge a little bit in your life like Job, or maybe you've been like over there in Jeremiah and you tore down the hedge and just let the enemy come in. Understand this today, you've got one in the heavens this morning, beloved, that's interceding to the Father on your behalf because of the battle that you're in and the way the enemy's having his hand against you. And understand this today, beloved, he is praying for you. He's interceding because you have found favor in his eyes. Now, my wife loves me, and I found favor at times in her eyes. But I always find favor in his eyes. Always. By this I know that thou favorest me. Hey, just go back through your life when you thought you was going down. I mean that very lowest point where you thought the devil had you beaten, whooped, and man, all of a sudden you don't know when, how, but you, and you look back today and you're just like, oh wow, man, I didn't even know God was working then. Right. Amen. Amen. All along his hand, that's why we sung those songs this morning. All along his hand was guiding me, changing my life to see. Man, understand this morning, we need to stay with the Lord and stay with Jesus because he favors us this morning. Not only because he found me, but because he favors me. I like this in Jeremiah 29 verse number 11. I'm not going to ask you to turn. Hey, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11, the King James Bible says this, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. To give you an expected end. I think I'll just stay with Jesus because, not because he found me, not just because he found me, not just because he favors me, but because he knows my future. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Oh, the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not an evil. Not a thought to make you set you up. I'm there to make you fail, but thoughts to give you an expected end. Now think about this morning. I shared this in Sunday school, and I'm going to elaborate, the Lord being our helper, a little bit on it. But I want you to think about this morning. When Isaac walked up the mountain that day with Abraham, and beloved, he was going up the hill, Abraham and Isaac along. And as they was walking up the hill that day, he looked at Abraham, and he said, Father, here's the fire. I'm there, and here's the wood, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, Son, God will provide himself a lamb. Understand, when Isaac left laid himself down on that altar there that day. I'm there, and Abraham took out the knife to slay him. All that Isaac could see, listen to me this morning, all Isaac could see was a life that was fixing to be slain, but God saw a lamb, beloved, caught in the bush. Understand this, when the children of Israel there got to the Red Sea, beloved, and they seen the Egyptians behind them, all they could see was their total destruction and that God had failed them. Beloved, God saw the promised land. Beloved, when Joseph found himself in the pit that day, beloved, and all of his brothers had sold him and left him and forsaken him, he was all alone. Beloved, all he could see was the dark walls of that pit. Beloved, God could see a palace. Beloved, when the disciples went to the cross that day and they watched Jesus die on the cross, beloved, all they could see was the crucifixion. Beloved, God saw the resurrection. May I say unto you this morning, beloved, what you're seeing may look dim. It may look gray. It may look black. It may like seem that there's no hope, but I've got good news for you. God sees what you don't. God's future's better than your past. You don't always understand what God's doing, but you just hold on because His plan's better than you could ever imagine. I'm talking about His future for you is better than anything you could ever dream. He says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of good and not of evil. You ever thought God thought evil toward you? Thank you, Brother Green and Brother Bobby. We're the three musketeers. We're the only ones that experience these type things. God, why'd you let that happen to me? God, why ain't you blessing me the way you're blessing me? Why me, Lord? Why my family? Why my spouse? You know what you're saying? God's got evil thoughts towards you. God's thoughts towards you ain't evil. He said, I don't have thoughts of evil towards you. He said, my thoughts towards you are of peace. He said, I've got an expected end for you. I've got a future for you that you can't even imagine. I mean, man, think about Christianity today. I mean, think about it, man. Yeah, I mean, we're being ridiculed and we're being mocked and we're not popular anymore and they're trying to stamp us out. And man, they understand this. They're doing it all across the nation, the earth. It's happening in Korea. It's happening in Vietnam. It's happening in Russia again. It's happening in Germany. It's happening in England. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in Mexico. It's happening everywhere. But guess what? Our future is better than what we have here. I think I'll just stay with Jesus. I'm just reminding you this morning, I think I'll just stay with Jesus. Number one, because He found me. Number two, because He favors me. Number three, because He knows my future is better than my past. Man, I like this one. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think I'll just stay with Jesus because He forgives me. Amen. Are you listening this morning? He forgives you. Yes. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. All unrighteousness. I don't want to get into my next point, but I just want you to understand, beloved, the Bible says, beloved, if we confess it, that He's faithful and just to forgive. Amen. He don't keep a record neither. And that's my next point. He forgets my past. But just remember, He forgives me. I don't have to grovel. I don't have to beg. I just have to confess. I just have to go before Him and say, Lord, You're right and I'm wrong. That's sin and I confess it, God. You know what happens? I don't understand what it does. I don't understand the transaction. I mean, the transaction's done been made. But what happens internally in the heaven, I don't know. But man, you know what it's like if you've ever been saved and then you got out of the will of God, or you've even got sin in your life and you went before God and you confessed, and all of a sudden, man, that blood of Jesus washed away your sins again. They was already washed away. But man, that peace and comfort of the Holy Ghost come back inside of you. And man, you didn't grieve God. Man, you wasn't grieved with God no more, and God wasn't grieved with you. Man, you felt like a new creature. May I say to you, I think I'll just stay with Jesus because He's faithful to forgive me.
Amen.
He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive
Amen.
Me. I wish I was as faithful to forgive as He was. I have to remind myself, Brother Green, forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, Lord, you don't know what they done to me. You don't know how they treated me. Lord, Lord, this is justifiable to be bitter. Lord says, forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But Lord, this is about the 100th time they done this to me. How often do you forgive your brother? 7 times? Oh no, Peter, 7 times 70. I'm like, Lord,
Amen.
Why can't I be like you? Now, I know nobody else deals with that stuff, but I'm just talking about how I am. But I've never been to Him, Brother Wesley, and said, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, you're right, and I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiveness is given.
Right.
He's faithful. I think I'll just stay with Jesus because He forgives me.
Amen.
Not only I think I'll just stay with Jesus because He forgives me, but I like kissing. He don't just offer forgive me. He don't remind me of my failures. Are you listening? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 12, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He don't remind me of my failures because He's chosen not to remember them. Now listen, I mean, think about that just for a moment. I can tell you every failure I've ever had, and some I hadn't had. Because that's what the devil does to me. And I'm honest with you, and these that's done beyond the 40 to 50 year old range, and those of you who are approaching it, just hold on. Because every failure that you've ever had in life is going to be brought back. I reckon that's what they call the midlife crisis. Because you look back over your life and you're like, oh man, what if I'd have done that? Why did I do that? Why did I make that mistake? What if I'd have done that? Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I do that? Nothing about, you don't remember nothing good about what you've done. All you're doing, you look at your children, man, I made a mistake. Man, I failed. Man, I failed. Oh my Lord, Lord, it's only because of your grace. And Lord, just please, in spite of my failures as a parent, God, do something. See, me and my wife's the only one in that range right now. These over here's done faced it.
Right.
Y'all gonna face it one day, though. I mean, just sit there and say, oh.
It don't quit.
You're gonna face it. But you know what, Brother Wesley? He never reminds me of my failures.
Amen.
Of the times that I failed as a pastor, the times that I failed as a daddy, the times that I failed as a husband. God does not bring it to my attention. He doesn't remind me. He has chosen to forget my failures.
Amen.
Amen. Understand this. If you're being reminded of your failures, it's not of God, it's of the enemy.
Right.
I think I'll just stay with Jesus. What's so important about your Jesus? Well, I'm telling you, He found me.
Amen.
Amen. He favors me. He forgives me. He don't remind me of my failures. And this is my last one. He's faithful.
Amen.
Brother Mark Wheeler sings a song, I've not always been faithful, but He has. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall sustain you and keep you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's never been a time in my life, never, that he's let me down.
Amen.
There's never been a time that he's been unfaithful to me. I've not always been faithful.
That's right.
But he has.
Always.
Always. He's always been faithful. When I was unfaithful,
right,
he was faithful.
Amen.
When I was undeserving, he was faithful. I'm a ringing brother. What do I do? He's faithful.
Amen.
What's so important about Jesus? Why do you serve Jesus? Why do you love Jesus? Because of the things I just told you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think I'll just stay with Jesus.
Amen. Nowhere else to go.
Where am I going to go?
That's right.
I know it's hard. I know, young person, I know that there's a lot of temptations out there that looks a whole lot better than old-fashioned Christianity. But all it is lies and emptiness.
Amen.
Don't leave him. Don't forsake him. He found you. He's faithful to you. He'll forgive you.
Amen.
You know what? And here's the good thing. If you do, he's faithful and just to forgive you.
Amen.
And when you fail him, and you look back over your life, if God blesses you with a family one day, all them stupid teenager, pre-adult, adult, whatever years they are, where you thought you knew every answer to every question, and mom and daddy and everybody else was stupid as a box of rocks.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, you're right.
You say, well, I don't feel that way. Yeah, you do. You just don't realize you feel that way. Because one of these days you're going to wake up and you're going, oh, wow, my daddy was right. That old man of God, he was right. My teachers were right. How could I have been so ignorant? You know what? He won't remind you of all those mistakes.
Hey.
Just to remind you, Jesus wins.
Amen.
Just to remind you, he's faithful. Just stay with Jesus. We're standing all over the house.